All right, good morning. I'm sorry that we're getting started a little bit later, but let's begin. So we're continuing in Gan Eden. So remember, again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, in our last class, so we were focusing on the nature of Gan Eden. What is the role? What is the purpose of Gan Eden? So quick review. What did we see so far? What's the role and purpose of Gan Eden? Possibility one, to work the land, right? We saw the Ebenezer, Pashat, Pshat, La'av, La'avdol L'shamra, La'avdol L'hashkos Hagan, L'shamra, to keep the animals out. Pashat, Pshat, literally to work the land. Good. Second opinion, Targum Yonasan. Spiritual growth, right? That ultimately, again, it is the role of Gan Eden to serve as a makam, as a place to nurture spiritual growth. That is the place. Remember, again, like the Keser Yor, like we saw in Targum Yonasan, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes Avraham Avinu from Hara Moria, takes him from Hara Moria, and ultimately, again, puts him in Gan Eden. Why? Lihios oved betorah velishmar mitzvoseha. So ultimately, again, all about Ruchnius. So what I want to show you something very interesting. If you take a look at number 9, so Rav Chaim Paltiel writes as follows. So he's in his period, one of the Rishonim, he writes as follows. He says, La'avdo l'shamra. So he kind of creates a little bit of a bridge between the different opinions. La'avdo l'shamra ve'im tomar v'harei gan l'ashon zacharu v'kasav alea l'ashon nekeba v'yishlomar demusav adalea. So first of all, he makes an interesting grammatical observation, which is gan is masculine. Right, Gan be'eden, Gan is masculine. La'avda u'lishamra is what? Is nekeva, is feminine. So what's the pshat? Right, again, if he's putting him in the Gan, and remember, we assume la'avda u'lishamra is going on what? What is it modifying? The Gan, right? The Adam is being placed into the Gan, la'avda, to work the Gan, u'lishamra, to go ahead and guard the Gan. If that's the case, why is it mentioned in lashon nekeva and not lashon zachar? To which the Rav Chaim Paltiel says something absolutely amazing. V'yeishlomar demusav adela'el v'ayhi adam l'nefesh chaya. So Rav Chaim Paltiel says something absolutely amazing. He says, la'avda u'lishamra is not going on the Gan. It's not a statement about what Adam is going to do on the Gan. Rather, what is it a statement about? His own neshama. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed Adam in the Gan. This is really an incredible insight. But the Shbaruch Hu placed Adam in the Gan. Li'avda u'lishamra is a reference to Adam Harishon's neshama. It's a reference to his soul. God placed Adam in the Gan. Li'avda u'lishamra, to work and to guard his neshama. Incredible insight. V'achi kamar v'ayinichiyu began Eden. Li'avda u'lishamra ha'nefesh. V'zeu shakasav mikala eitz ha'gan achol tochal. Atom uchuyev la'avod l'nishmascha u'laha'achilba u'yipi'adas tishmerna. So the reason why this Rav Chaim Paltiel is quite interesting is, which side is he taking in the Eben Ezra Targum Yonasan debate? What would you say? What? Why Targum Yonasan? Okay, good. Everyone agree with that? Anyone disagree with that?
It's both.
Why?
It's both again, because you can work on yourself through being in your
heart. Excellent. I think you're correct. You could definitely read it. Once you talk about the neshama, you could assume it's ruchnius. But I think the beauty of Rav Chaim Paltiel is, if you notice by design, he does not mention anything regarding physical labor or spiritual labor. He regards talking about cultivating the neshama. But I think what Rav Chaim Paltiel could be alluding to is, one cultivates the neshama through anything they do as a service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether that's the working of the field or whether that's the learning of Torah. If what I'm doing is for the purpose of serving my Creator, and for the purpose, ultimately, again, of coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, that is Avoda. That is La'avda u'lishamra. So it's really an incredibly profound yisod. First of all, just in general, and we're going to see, these are not mutually exclusive, but Rav Chaim Paltiel, which I didn't see any of the other Mefarshim who understand it the way that he does. I think it's such a dramatic departure from the Pashat, Pshat, and the Pasuk, but the Zachar Nekeva Diyak is a very strong one. The Shbaruch Hu puts Adam in Gan Eden, La'avdosh, why being put in the Gan? What's the point? So you have to ask yourself, what's the fundamental question you have about Gan Eden? Sorry? What is it there for? Right? And remember again, not only that, the pasuk says, Vayita Elokim Gan Be'eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sounds like he created something new. Eden was there. Eden was there. I'm sure it was beautiful. He created this Gan. Yes?
What was it like to do farming before his curses?
Oh, so what's the answer to that? What was it like to do farming before the curses?
I'm assuming it was easier.
Correct. Meaning, remember, what's the curse of Adam Arishon?
It's hard.
Not just hard, but remember what? Remember again, you're going to go ahead and plant, right? The kolts v'dar dar tetzmach. So the curse of Adam Arishon was, you could plant, and you're not necessarily going to get back what you planted. In the pre-sin world, you planted. I'm sure it was still the same avoda, but you whatever you planted is what you got back. There was, I guess, a guarantee in the results.
But is there an opinion on that? It didn't take
I don't know how agriculture, you know, in the pre-chet world looked like as opposed to the post-chet world. I don't know also how it changes, you know, before the mabul, after the mabul. That I don't know. But apparently, there was work to be done. And by the way, the other work could also be the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Let's say the gan. We know that one thing the gan had was what?
Trees,
right? That we know. The farming, so to speak, could also be the cultivation of the trees. That could also be. I don't know that other. Does any other issue was like planting stuff in the ground according to the evidence? That I don't know. What the nature of the agricultural work is, Torah doesn't tell us. But Lamaisa, there was something to do, and I would say it wasn't just like busy work to keep Adam Arishon busy, to keep him out of trouble. Lamaisa, the world had to be maintained. So Ruchaim Paltiel coming along and saying, you know what? The details of the Machlokas, Ibn Ezra and the Targum Yonasan, are not really all that important. You're both right. And you both can be right. Meaning, whatever Adam Arishon was doing inside of the Gan, whether he was quote-unquote learning Torah, or he was farming, whatever he was doing was a source of Avodas Hashem, and therefore the Avdal B'Shamra was bettering his Neshama. What I want to focus on a little bit, so now, that's beautiful. This is fantastic. Right? The question becomes, so what happens now? So now we don't have Gan Eden, or when I say we don't have Gan Eden, it's we are outside of Gan Eden. So whether Gan Eden still exists in this world, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu just removed that makom from the earth, whatever happened. One thing is clear, which is, I am outside of Gan Eden. Now, why is this important to us? Because according to Rav Chaim Paltiel, it turns out that what was the essence of Gan Eden? What was the essence? What did you do in Gan Eden? Right? What did you do? You worked for me. You worked on your ruchnius. That's what you did. Now, there's a machlokes. What does it mean to work on your ruchnius? Does it mean working on your ruchnius through ruchnius? Does it mean working on your ruchnius through gashmius, through physical labor? Whichever one it is, for our purposes, it doesn't even really matter all that much. The point is, the goal in the Gan was li avda ulish shamra. The goal in the Gan is you worked on your neshama. That's what you did in Gan Eden. Machlokes as to how that happened, but that was the avoda in Gan Eden, which is really quite fascinating. Because now, what happens now? What do we do now that we don't have a Gan Eden? So now, I don't have this place where I'm devoted ultimately again to working on my neshama, the avda l'shamra. I don't have this place where Adam Arishon was born into, where he was fully focused on his own spiritual development, either by farming the land, or by learning Torah, or by some combination of the two. So what do we do in a post-Gan Eden world? So I want to show you something amazing. If you take a look at the Al-Sheikh in number 10, so the Al-Sheikh writes as follows. He says, Al-Kain, Tashiv Amareh Ashchina, Elav Yisbarach V'Tomar, Yavo Dodi Legano, the Sinai. So remember, again, the Pasuk, if you reference back just to number 1 for just a moment, we're going to go back now and focus a bit on the Pasuk. So remember, now we've learned about Gan Eden. We've seen what Gan Eden is all about. We've seen dramatic Machlokas, Ibn Ezra, Targum Yonasan. We've seen Rav Chaim Paltiel, who told us that really the details of that Machlokas aren't even so important. What matters most is what? Is that Gan Eden was the place where you worked on your ruchnius. So now go back to Ramon for just a moment. So now Gan Eden is talking to us. Now remember, Gan Eden, see, what's unique about Gan Eden as opposed to the rest of Perek Shira? Not even seeing that special. What's unique? So first of all, it may not be a physical place. Now, although remember, so I will tell you also, Gehenna is also in Perek Shira, which we'll discuss. What else is unique?
Well, other ones like animals are like living things. Like
yes, and nature and other parts of nature. But what's the common denominator?
We have them.
You see, what's unique about Gan Eden is, especially if you understand Gan Eden to be a reference to Olam Haba, to the world to come, then okay, it would fall into the same thing as Gehenna. And interestingly enough, the next thing we're going to discuss is Gehenna. Right? So again, one can make the argument that they're kind of two sides of the same coin. But if you understand Gan Eden as being a reference to the place where Adam HaRishon resided, it's interesting that this is included here, because at the end of the day, this is an area that I can't access. Right? This is an area that I don't have a connection to. So at the end of the day, what am I supposed to do with this? It's very interesting. Everything else we're supposed to learn from, because I could experience it in the natural world. How do I learn from a Gan Eden that I can't experience? So remember again, so Gan Eden, quote unquote, quotes the pasuk from Shir HaShirim. That pasuk was, right, Uri Tzafon Oboi Teimon, Hafichi Gan Yizlu B'samav, Yavo Dodi Ligano. We're going to be focusing on the last part of the phrase. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat of its precious fruit. So look at the Al-Sheikh now in number 10. The Al-Sheikh says something so beautiful. He says, Al-Kain, Tashiv Amareha, skip to the middle, Yavo Dodi Lagano B'Sinai. What does it mean when my beloved comes to his garden? Remember in Shir HaShirim, who is the beloved? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Again, sometimes it switches off, as we mentioned before, but for our purposes today, the beloved is going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My beloved comes to his garden. The garden refers to what, says the Al-Sheikh? Sinai. Har Sinai. Al-Kain, Yushpu'u me'elehen v'yochal pri megadav shel dodi, hein ma'amarav yisparach aseres hadibros, sheheim hamagidim, ki heim ya'asu peros, v'yochleim, be a kablem dodi. So this is actually quite beautiful. So the Al-Sheikh understands the pasuk is as follows. Yavo dodi legano, let my beloved come to his garden. Beloved is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gan is? Har Sinai. The yochal pri megadav. And eat of its precious fruit. Now the Al-Sheikh understands, who's eating of the precious fruit? The fruit are the mitzvos. We eat the fruit, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibiyachol gets the benefit of our consumption. He gets the benefit ultimately, again, of our acts of eating. So incredibly enough, what's happening over here, says the Al-Sheikh, is something so beautiful. Gan Eden says, so let's piece this together. So Gan Eden tells us, Yavo Dodi Lagano, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Har Sinai, gives us the fruit of Torah and Mitzvos, we eat the fruit, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu derives benefit from its from our consumption. So if I were to ask you now, what's the message of Gan Eden, what would you say? What is Gan Eden teaching us?
Do the mitzvos.
Do the mitzvos. Okay, a little bit more. That's always a good answer. Right? Do the mitzvos, good. But what mean? So why is this unique to Gan Eden? What is Gan Eden teaching me? That is correct. Do the mitzvos. Learn to, what's the message? Good. What does that do with Gan Eden? Good. Let me say a little bit differently. Excellent. What the Al-Sheikh is addressing is, what is Gan Eden telling us? Gan Eden is saying, listen, Adam and Chava lived a beautiful life here, albeit a short one. And Gan Eden is no more to be had. But we spend our lives trying to recreate Gan Eden. So how do you recreate your Gan Eden? Isn't that, whether you realize it or not, everyone is trying to recreate Gan Eden. You know, we call it a little bit differently. Most people are looking for what out of life?
Satisfaction.
Or?
Meaning.
Or?
Happiness.
Good. Happiness. It's good. You're a sophisticated group of young women. Wonderful. Meaning is great answers. Most people don't answer meaning, satisfaction. Happiness. Most people are looking to be happy. Now, the truth is what most people don't realize is, see, the great challenge in life is everyone's looking for happiness. Everyone's looking for happiness. The great challenge in life is what?
Knowing what the right happiness.
Knowing where to get happiness from. So the problem, of course, is that people try to find happiness in all the wrong ways. So your answers are excellent, because the answers you gave of satisfaction, meaning, that's where happiness comes from. You know, Rabbi Nachman said, Mitzvah gidola lihios besimcha tamid. Heard that statement, right? So, you know, So it does. I don't know that Rabbi Nachman ever. You know, you ever pull up like to a red light in Eretz Yisrael, and if you happen to be next to a van of Breslov Hasidim, right? Especially with the bumper stickers of Tein Chiyuch Tamid, right? So usually the music goes up, they'll start dancing. I don't know if that's what Rabbi Nachman had in mind. I'm not sure that that was his kavanas. It's beautiful, but I don't. And understand, think about that statement for just a moment. What is it? What's the problem with Mitzvah Gedoliyos B'Simcha Tamid? What's the problem with that statement? Supposedly, you can't force yourself, meaning there are just times when I'm not happy. What else? Oh, like when? Tishuva, right. So first of all, the statement itself is enigmatic. There are times where the halacha forbids simcha. Tisha B'Av is a day of Shiva. There's no simcha. And Avel is enjoined from certain simcha. So what does he mean? Because you have to understand. See, we think simcha means like a big smile on your face and clapping your hands and dancing around. That's not what simcha means. The Rebbe said simcha is the state of being when you realize that your life is meaningful and purposeful. I guarantee you, the happiest people you know in life are people who live lives of real, profound meaning. Where there's meaning, there's simcha. Where there's purpose, there's simcha. Conversely, you might know people who might have a lot of stuff, might have a lot of money, might have a lot of material things, and yet are profoundly unhappy people. Because we all know, Gashmius is wonderful. Money is fantastic. If you can have it, tavalacha bracha. But at the end of the day, that's not where happiness comes from. It can make life a little bit easier, can make life a little bit more enjoyable, but Lamai said that's not where simcha comes from. Simcha comes from meaning. So therefore, again, what we're trying to figure out, so we're all looking for simcha. I'm trying to find simcha sachayim. That's what I'm looking for. But what Gan Eden is really telling us is, what you're really looking for is me. What you're really looking for is Gan Eden. That's what we're looking for everywhere in this world. Where is Gan Eden? Because here's what I know, is Gan Eden was that place of incredible meaning. Gan Eden was that place where your Torah had meaning, and your farming had meaning, where your mitzvos had meaning, and your cultivating the soil had meaning. Everything had meaning and purpose. And so I spend my life, and we all spend our lives, either some of us consciously aware, or most of us only subconsciously aware, I am looking for Gan Eden. I'm looking for my way back into Eden. Looking for my way back into Gan Eden. And so what does the Al Sheikh say? You want to find Gan Eden? Absolutely. How do you find it? What Gan Eden tells us. This is what Gan Eden is telling us. Gan Eden knows we want so badly to get back into Eden. So Gan Eden says, if you want to come back into Eden, here's what you need to do. Calls the pasuk. Yavo dodi legano v'yochal pri migadav. I'll tell you where Eden is. Eden is when the beloved comes to Har Sinai, gives us the fruit of Torah mitzvos, and we consume that fruit. Or in other words, Gan Eden is found in spiritual pursuits. When a person steeps themselves and immerses themselves and anchors themselves in a rich spiritual life that is filled with Torah, that is filled with mitzvos, that is filled with chesed, that is filled with avodas Hashem, that is a life of Gan Eden. That is Gan Eden. What an incredibly profound idea. And the truth is, we know this because at the end of the day, after you engage in some form of spiritual service, how do you feel? Great, right? It's an incredible thing. A person might get something very nice, right? You might get a thing, whatever the thing is, clothing, a car, whatever it is. Those things are nice, and suddenly there's an excitement around it, but it doesn't fill your soul with an incredible, overwhelming wave of simcha. Yet a person does something ruchni. Whatever it is, you have a davening that finally you have enough bandwidth to have kavana, or you're able to help someone else in a time of crisis, or you're able to do some genuine form of avodas Hashem, you feel so profoundly happy and content. The Al-Sheikh would say, you know what you're feeling? You're actually feeling like you're living in Gan Eden. It's such a beautiful insight. That Gan Eden that we think is so incredibly elusive is in fact always accessible to us if we're willing to live in a life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, His mitzvos, and His chesedim. Incredible. So in Torah, you find Gan Eden. Take a look at number 11. The Medrash takes a little bit of a different approach. So the Medrash says something beautiful. He says, Yavo Dodi Lagano. And again, as we're going to see, these different approaches are not mutually exclusive. The truth is, to a certain degree, they build on one another as well. So the Medrash says, remember again, we're all quoting the pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Yavo dodi legano, let my beloved come into his garden. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This refers to Hashem. Sheyishre shchinaso beinehem. So according to the Medrash, Yavo dodi legano means let my beloved, the beloved still refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in this context, gano does not refer to Har Sinai. Instead, what does gano refer to? Gano ultimately refers to us. Refers to us. Shchinasa b'neihem, shenei amar v'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, v'ayisi lohem le'elokim, v'yochal b'yom adafarim. So listen, so according to the Medrash, gano means something different. Gano means inside of me. Yavo dodi legano, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to his garden. Where is the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I am the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am the garden. Ultimately, what the Medrash is saying is something absolutely amazing. To understand the Medrash, and number 12, there's a beautiful song which I'm sure you're all familiar with. The song of Bilvavi Mishkan Evneh. What people often don't know is that song was composed by Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, right? Rav Huttner was Rashi of Chaim Berlin, an incredible tzaddik, an incredible Talmud Chacham, someone again who was versed in Torah Sanistra, Torah Sanigla. And look at the words, and the words are so profound, and they really come from this. He writes as follows, Bilvavi Mishkan Evneh, Lahadar Kavodo. I will build a Mishkan in my heart. Lahadar Kavodo, to be a beautification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to glorify God's covet. Uba Mishkan Mizbeach Akim, in that Mishkan I will make an altar. Lekarne Hodo. Uba Ner Tamid Ekach Lias Esha Akedah. The Ner Tamid on my Mizbeach will be the fire of the Akedah, the fire of sacrifice. And what will I offer up on my Mizbeach? I give him myself. I give him my neshama. So Rav Huttner is really borrowing this sentiment from the Medrash. Where is Gan Eden? Kadosh Baruch Hu already tells us. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Ultimately, again, Gan Eden is where? Gan Eden is inside of us. Now, what does that mean, that Gan Eden is inside? Remember again, we'll come back to Ashkenaz in just a moment. What does it mean Gan Eden is inside of me? What's that message? Remember again, the Medrash is saying over here, Yavo do, remember, Gan Eden says the Pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Yavo do di legano. So Gan Eden is saying, the gates of Gan Eden are closed, right? Malachim with fiery swords, guard the way. I'm trying to get back into Eden. I'm trying to re-experience Eden. So the Medrash says, you want to experience Eden? No problem. Yavo do di, you want Eden? Eden is inside of you. What does that mean? Eden is inside of you. Any thoughts?
That's where we have to go to. We have to find
it
inside of ourselves.
But what does that mean? What does it mean Eden is inside of me?
Whatever
the lessons of Eden are ultimately, again, are inside of me. Excellent. Good. Any other thoughts? Excellent. Remember again, what did Eden represent? Eden represented bliss. It represented simcha. It represented fulfillment. It represented all that was good for humanity in this world. Do you know what the biggest mistake people make in life? One of the biggest mistakes people make in life is they think that happiness comes from something outside of them. Right? If I only had X, I would be happy. If I only experienced Y, I would be happy. If only this person and that person would do this and this and this and this, then I would be happy. The greatest mistake, the most tragic mistake in life, is outsourcing your happiness. True simcha in life comes from within. If you want to be a happy person, if you want to be a shalim person, that is a decision you make inside of yourself. Other people are going to do what other people are going to do. Right? Other circumstances may materialize as you want them to or won't materialize as you want them to. But at the end of the day, the choice to be besimcha, the choice to feel shalom, the choice to feel life tranquility, is a choice that comes from within. So the Medrash says something amazing. Gan Eden It morphed. What do you mean by it morphed? Gan Eden used to be what? That's open on the question. It used to be an external location. Gan Eden used to be a place. It used to be a place, an external location. After the Chet of Adam HaRishon, we were kicked out of external Gan Eden. But something dramatic happened, which what? Gan Eden became internal. Suddenly again, you could access your own Gan Eden inside of you. Now the reason I say this is not different than the Al-Sheikh is because, again, it really builds on it. How do you go ahead? How do you go ahead and find the Gan Eden that is inside of you, right? Where do you, how do you find that? How do you access that? And what's the answer? Through Torah, right? So remember, again, it's incredible. Like, the Medrash is really a derivative of the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh tells us that ultimately, again, Gan Eden can still be found. Yavo dodi leganov yochon prime gadav. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Har Sinai, came to the Gan, and he gave us the fruit of Torah, mitzvos, chesed, and everything. And he says, eat the fruit. Eat the fruit and you will experience Gan Eden. How do you unlock the Eden inside of you? It's the same idea. Root yourself in a spiritual existence. But again, here, I want to give a clarification. What is the definition of a spiritual existence? Does it mean that a person is preoccupied with spirituality every moment of the day? No, not necessarily. Well, it can be that, but it doesn't have to be that. Because remember, again, this is why we keep reverting back to the Ibn Ezra. Even the Ibn Ezra understands that at the end of the day, Adam HaRishon's existence in Gan Eden was not a ruchni experience defined by constant occupation with ruchnius to the exclusion of gashmius. He was tilling the soil. He was taking care of the gan. But yet there was still that ability to experience this level of spiritual elation when he realized that the work he was doing was in and of itself a service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Al-Sheikh says, you need Torah to unlock the Gan Eden inside of you. You need Torah, you need Ruchnius, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to unlock the Gan Eden that is inside. Doesn't mean I have to always be learning, I have to be rooted in a spiritual system. But even if I'm farming the field, the Gan Eden inside of me can still be found. Yes?
So we're saying that, like, just realization alone, that what you're doing is for Hashem, makes you
doing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would venture to say that is the highest level of existence. You see, when I'm doing something ruchni, it's easy to see that it's ruchni. Of course. Why else am I learning Torah? Why else am I doing mitzvos? Meaning, even if I don't have all the best kavanas, I'm clearly engaged in something of avodas Hashem. But to be able to see in the work that you do, the physical work, or the outside, that's a form of avodas Hashem as well, is an incredible accomplishment.
It doesn't feel...
So, of course, that's why it's a challenge. That's why it's a challenge. But remember, again, I don't know that Adam... The question is, did Adam HaRishon feel as Ruchni when he was pruning the trees in Gan Eden as he did when he was sitting learning Torah? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I would venture to say that even if the feeling is not as intense, the meaning of it may still be the same. But yes, that is definitely one of the takeaways over here. That if a person is able to go, sometimes a person is out in the world, and a person is able to go ahead and feel that what they're doing is a form of avodas Hashem, that's incredible. To a certain degree, they're mimicking what Adam HaRishon experienced in Gan Eden as well. So you see now a different interpretation. The Al-Sheikh telling us, Gan Eden can be accessed whenever you engage in spirituality, in holiness and avodas Hashem. Torah, mitzvos, chasadim. We have now the Medrash, I'm building in Rav Hutner as well over this Bilvavi Mishkan Evna idea. Va'asu mitos shachanti b'socham. Gan Eden is inside of you, which is so incredibly important because people go through life looking for happiness and they often assume that happiness comes from something external to them. When in fact, we forget that if you want to be happy, happiness is a decision. Happiness is a decision. People think that happiness is the byproduct of having everything you want in life, right? I'll be happy if, right? I'll be happy if. And then I have my list of stuff that I need in order to be happy. What happens if you live a life of I'll be happy if? Never happy. Because chances are whatever you have on that list, rarely will you have all of those items at the same time. Unless, of course, your list is food and shelter. Right? If your list is food and shelter, then Baruch Hashem, you could be happy. But for most of us, our list is a bit more complicated than that. So if you're, and many people are, I'll be happy if kind of people. And the truth is, they go through life looking for happiness and they never find it. Comes on the Medrash and says, Gan Eden is inside of you. Gan Eden is inside of you. If you want it, it is theirs, for it is there for the taking. If you want it, then at the end of the day, all you need to do is make a conscious decision to access it. The Medrash adds in a piece over here. And the Medrash says, you know what, actually we're going to do is we're going to stop over here for today. And we're going to pick up with the Medrash in Emirat HaShem on Monday. We'll spend one more class on Gan Eden and Emirat HaShem, then tie it back. We're not finished. Just I want you to know, we're not finished yet with the Machlokes and the Targum Yonasan and the Eben Ezra. We'll cap that off in Emirat HaShem on Monday. Yes, go right ahead.
So let's say, like, just an example, not like work, but let's say, like, you live.